and the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll get started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good. Thank you, everybody, for attending this morning. Just a couple of reminders, since we're still doing this on Zoom, is when you wish to speak, please go ahead and speak loudly so that your microphone will pick it up. And please state your name prior to speaking. You'll have to unmute your microphone prior to speaking. And let's see here. Once again, public comment will be called for before every vote on every agendized item, and then we'll have public comment at the end of the meeting as well. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Thank you. We'll start off now with item number 3. This is discussion for possible action, approval of the agenda for June the 2nd, 2020. County Manager Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to continue number 10, the stipulation agreement. We'd like to continue that to June 16, Board of County Commissioners meeting. And we would like to completely remove item number 12 that has to do with the BG Fred Depot.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? And you'll notice I'm going to pause because sometimes it takes time for this to transfer over the internet and back again. So not hearing any objections. Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve today's agenda with the changes made?
Yes, Chairman. I move to approve today's agenda with the noted changes.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the meeting minutes for April the 21st, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve the minutes.
I move to approve the meeting minutes for April 21, 2020.
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing no comments, if I can get a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I'll stop at the top of my list, which I normally do, and I'll start with from the Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Antonoro.
Good morning, Commissioners. Just want to speak a little bit to the civil unrest that's going on in the area and around the country. Had several businesses contact me with concerns for the safety of their own businesses. One thing I can say is we do not anticipate a problem, but we are watching what's going on throughout the region and the state, and we will respond accordingly should any of the problems come up there. But at the present time, we're not anticipating anything.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. From our Operations Department over at Public Works, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Everybody hear me okay?
You need to speak up a little bit.
Yes, sir. Three quick items for the commissioners today. Number one, the depot building. As you know, there was an agenda item that was moved What's going on there is we had a determination from our county legal counsel regarding the organization of the scopes of work on that building, so I'm working to reorganize those scopes to comply with legal directives and with public works prevailing wage laws. I expect about 2 to 3 weeks, and that project will be out to bid, and the two scopes that will be on that will be the structural repair and the fire suppression system. Item number two is the Divide building. That's a big one here. The architectural mapping to report is about 98%. The mechanical, electrical, and plumbing design is at about 80%. Yeah, 90% and 80%. We should be up to bid in about 2 weeks from now. The plans and specifications will hit the street approximately June 15 to June 19. Figure a 4-week bid period. We should be opening bids in approximately 6 weeks on or about July 14. Last item, Virginia City Highlands Community Center. The new metal building is in pre-order production with some help and guidance from the County Legal Counsel. We are working on the contract, the details of the contract for the manufacture, delivery, and erection of the steel building. There is at least 10-week fabrication time on that building. During that time, there will be some trenching, utility, and site work in preparation for that construction. And as a separate matter, we will be soliciting quotes for the remodel work on the existing building. Once we have all these elements in place, we'll construct a sequence of events that will provide a minimum amount of disruption to operations at the fire station there in the Highlands. And that's all I have today, sir.
Thank you, Mike. All right, over at Community Chest in the library, Eric Schoen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I apologize for the dogs you'll hear in the background. So I have a few updates, just to remind folks that our medical clinic is now open on Mondays to face-to-face appointments. You do need to have an appointment. They're not just letting people walk in, though I think there's a number that you call and then people will staff will meet folks at the door to make sure that they're not otherwise endangering folks who they might come into contact with when they come into the clinic. So folks can now make those appointments and on Mondays walk into the clinic and have meet with somebody face-to-face. Wednesday, the rest of the week is still open to telehealth, which is more coverage than we've had before. So if somebody needs to be seen, telehealth is an option Tuesday through Saturday. Our early childhood education daycare center is now up to its full capacity, which is 50% of normal full capacity. We won't go beyond that. It's at 10. Enrolled students.
Okay, Eric, you froze up. Can you go back to the beginning of that? You froze up on the screen.
Sure, yeah. So our daycare / early childhood education center is now at full capacity, which is half the capacity that it was before, meaning instead of the normal 20 students, we've capped enrollment at 10. So far, so good. We're hoping it continues that way. Knock on wood, it continues to go well. But we're thrilled to have actual real life people, and it's like seeing flowers in spring, seeing these kids come in and interact with staff. Our summer program will be opening next week. Matt, she will be capped at 50% capacity. I believe we're already full. Staff is making adjustments to make sure that all of the youth stay in small cohorts, so they're not interacting with everybody. They'll only interact with the core group and the different model, but we're doing that per the CDC guidelines to limit the possible spread of any coronavirus. A reminder that we do have the Eagles money to help provide utility and other assistance for folks who are finding themselves short on making bill payments. So please keep reminding folks that the money is available. We want to take away every single dollar. We don't want to hold on to a single penny of that. If for some reason we do end up with extra, I'm inclined to give it to the senior center when those cases would use it. And last but not least, for folks who want to join us on Mondays for the community resiliency forums, we have two. They're both done via Zoom at 12:30 and 4:30. They're basically a place for people to process the emotions and the thoughts that they're having going through this experience, which is unlike what most of us have been through before. So if it's been a good place for a lot of folks to kind of talk through things, and hopefully so. That's all I have to report. Thank you.
Eric, would you happen to have the phone number for the clinic that you spoke about in the beginning?
Yeah, 297-1267. 297-1267.
Very good. Great. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Eric?
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
I don't.
Great. All righty. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, you're welcome.
More with the recorder's office. Marnie Hounson Martinez, anything today?
Hi there. It is nothing from us today, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Marnie. From Story County Senior Citizen Center, Stacey York.
Nothing to report today. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey. On the board. Public Works Director, Jason Wersbecki. I thought I saw Jason on there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Great, Jason.
Okay. Just a couple things. We are probably, I'd say, 85% finished up with the monitor throughout the county along the shoulders, and getting ready to start within the next couple weeks the waste management turnaround at Lockwood. We mobilized some equipment over there, got the retaining wall blocks in place, you know, for the construction of the turnaround, and Just had work this morning that the new playground equipment for the Mark Twain Park has finally made it in country, so we're looking at starting that project within the next 2 to 3 weeks as well. That's all I have.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jason?
Not today.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason today?
No, sir.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to Administrative Assistant and HR, Jen Chapman.
Nothing today, thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Okay, all things water, Mike Nevin.
Everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good, Mike. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Good morning, commissioners. Thank you, Chairman McBride. Reporting on the couple of projects that we're working with, the Gold Hill Sewer, I'll start there. The wastewater treatment plant, I should say, in Gold Hill. We're still on target for the submittal of the 90% plan review to the county sometime this month. USDA is still working with SHPO on the 106 requirements. 106 section, of course, is the National Park Service requirements because of the fact that we're in a National Historic District landmark. So Cheryl is working with them to try to address their concerns. They had a couple. It's been a little bit of a challenge, especially on the USDA side of things. They were back in their office here in Carson City, and last week they had a potential exposure of a staffer to a relative of somebody else. So they closed the office and are in a deep cleaning mode this week. So Cheryl hopes to return and her staff sometime next week to the office. Makes it a little bit difficult sometimes because there are certain requirements both at the federal and state level that require information to be handled differently. In other words, can't be emailed. It has to be handled either directly or by U.S. mail. And some of the documentation, of course, gets hung up at desk location. So just been a little bit difficult, and I know you all understand that we all, you know, have seen our lives change as a result of what's happened. At any rate, we did apply for NV Energy permit for the Gold Hill site. Those documents will be completed today, and I will get the required signatures from our county manager so we can submit that application to NV Energy so they can make a determination on what is going to be needed on their end in order to supply us power to the Gold Hill site. Fluence, the contractor that we chose to build the equipment for the plant, has been excellent to work with, right on target. We're really pleased with the company that is building the equipment for the plant down there. We'll move along now to the Hillside Tank Project. Later on your agenda this morning is the final piece, we hope, of the county's involvement with obtaining an easement from Hess Construction across a portion of the parcel. This is a cleanup, probably should have been done many, many years ago, but many, many years ago, things were different. People did handshakes back then, I guess, but at any rate, we'll address that here later on in the meeting. I did have a conversation with Cheryl Couch last week and explained to her that we were ready to go to bid, and she said that her federal preservation officer was in the process of communicating with the National Park Service on a couple of questions that they had regarding the project. That letter was sent on the 27th of May for the National Park Service by, again, USDA's Federal Preservation Officer. So just we're awaiting the final determination, but Cheryl did authorize us to put this project to bid. The project has been put to bid. The publications required by NRS have been published in the county newspaper and also the Reno Gazette Journal. And several contractors have also been advised. We will have a pre-bid meeting that will be conducted next Tuesday on site with potential contractors willing to put in a bid for the project. The bid opening date for the project is June 23rd, and that will be held at the Far West Conference Room in Reno at 2 o'clock that afternoon. So things are looking up. We're moving forward finally with the Hillside Tank Project, and you know, it is what it is, and we hope to make a bid award here before the end of the month. And that's all I have today, but thank you, unless you have questions.
That's great news, Mike. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike?
I do not.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike this morning?
No, sir. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. All right, we'll move over to the Director of Tourism, Danny Dotson.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just a little bit of update from the BCTC here. We, you know, as we move into this week here, you'll see just about every business attraction open. I think the train is looking to open up later this week. We got a couple of mine tours that tested it this weekend, and so we're getting closer to having everybody open. Unfortunately, as I shift my update to special events, we've lost a couple more. So it's understandable, and we stand behind our partners, the Potlatch Nights, but this morning they made it official that their event, which we host their kickoff event here in the last day of July and the first part of August, has been canceled. So, or of course, postponed to next year. Along with that, our local club, the Comstock Classic Club, is elected to postpone to next year. And then another one, Comps and Classics. So we've lost three car shows here throughout the summer. That leaves us with just about one event right now on the books, outside of you know, the potential for 4th of July, which we're still trying to work through all the details there. But again, that's not the best news, but understandable and not really unexpected. So, but with that, we are continuing to work with our partner, Liquid Blue Events, on a couple other events that we could fill in some of these gaps with a couple other ideas. One of those possibly a softball tournament. So again, we'll get more and more details as we get here in the next couple of weeks, but that'd be my update for today.
Great. Thank you, Denny. Commissioner Carmona, any questions for Denny?
No. Thank you.
Okay, great. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Denny today?
No, he's doing a great job, very difficult time. Thank you,
Denny. Okay. Thank you. All right. Community Development Director, Martin Azevedo.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. The commissioners, Martin Esposito, Director of Community Development and Fire Marshal. Today we released our dashboard report online. So it's posted online just to kind of go over a few highlights. Last month, construction documents, we had 17 permits issued last month, or 28. New nuisances, we only had 6, which was good. And inspections completed were 109 for the month. So we're still out there. We're still busy. We got some things coming up, so that'll be good. Also, just kind of a reference, or brought our staff back to the office instead of working remotely. We are still conducting remote inspections for the most part. I've left that up to the inspectors so they can do it either by video, photographs, or FaceTime with contractors. That really went well over the last few months. So we decided to keep doing that. We'll go out to the job sites when needed. We have good contractors out there, so we feel pretty confident in them with those video inspections. People are still keeping their social distance at the office. We still have hand sanitizer here, but it's nice to have the whole team back together. And that's all I have, sir.
Great. Thank you, Martin. Commissioner Carmona, any questions for Martin?
No, not at this time.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Martin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No.
All right, then we'll move right along to our Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
I'm here. You're right, Mr. Chairman. It takes a couple of minutes to get these things activated sometimes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I have a number of items that I just want to kind of run past you. Of course, first is the usual brief overview of the status of COVID-19 cases located within the Quad County area. As it stands right now, there's been a total of 197 cases within the Quad County area. Active, currently there's 48 active and 144 cases have recovered. There have been, unfortunately, 5 deaths in relationship to those cases. Carson City's had a total of 99 cases, Douglas 32 cases, and Lyon County 65. And we're still very fortunate that we've had one case and one recovery. So we're holding our own so far. And next item would be, I just want to tell you about the community-based testing. As you recall, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a community-based testing in place that we held at the Senior Citizen Center up here in D.C., and another one down at the Senior Citizen Center in Lockwood. Currently, planning is in progress for that to continue. And as it goes right now, the planning is in progress for where and when this will occur within Story County. but we're looking at pretty much the same thing. There would be a site in Virginia City and a site in Lockwood. And Mark Twain people would be directed or be able to go to the site and date if they chose. They still could come up here if during the time we do this. And those times have not been set yet. These would be no appointment situations. You would not have to call and make an appointment as we did before. And they're open to any Quad County resident. And that's the only requirement, that you have to be a resident of the Quad County. It's looking like the possibility is quite evident that one of these testing site stations will appear in Story County possibly once a month, or it's a possibility of some months into the future. How many months? We're not entirely certain, but it will be significant. So we'll probably end up with one of these community-based testing sites in Story County for several months moving forward. So I only can say stay tuned for further information on that particular subject. And of course, there'll be appropriate marketing information put out regarding that. The next item would be that there seems to be a little bit of a rise of COVID virus appearing in the workplaces. This is not necessarily here. It's within the Quad County area. And it seems to be becoming a little bit more prevalent. So I would just kind of caution department heads that they should be aware and take prevention with masks and distancing factors within the workplace, particularly if the personnel are in any kind of close confinement or working together. The other item is that it seems to be apparent that when we can see it right here in Virginia City, on the weekends in particular, that people are certainly not understanding the importance of use of masks, of maintaining distancing and so forth. It's like they just feel like they want to do whatever they want to do. And certainly that's their prerogative, but that bears a situation of potential problems as we move forward. In particular, are people who are ordered or required to stay home if they have been tested positive or have had a documented exposure. They don't seem to be following the rules on that, and so that's becoming a problem as well. So if you know of people that have tested positive or have been exposed and have been asked or required or directed to stay home for a two-week period, a 14-day period, that to prevent any spread of anything, and they're not complying or doing with that, there needs to be the information to the proper sources so that they can be spoken to regarding that. I spoke with you last meeting about a project that we have in process and is moving forward, and that is the placement of hand dispensers for hand sanitation, on C Street. That project is continuing to move forward. We have the dispensers available, and we have the juice that goes in them for foaming, like we have within the county buildings and so forth. And the work on the stands and the brackets that would go either on porch posts or bolted down to the boardwalk in front of businesses is in progress. Again, the deadline that I've set for installation of those things will be the 15th of June. I don't think there's going to be any problem at all in meeting that deadline. I really wanted those things to be in place before we really start getting some hot, heavy time of the summer. So that is moving forward. We have AM Emergency Management has consulted with the school district regarding their planned graduation exercise, which found to be quite innovative and effective. Superintendent Hess, I'm sure, will explain it to you in greater detail as to exactly how they're going to do this, but I thought it was obviously they had given some significant thought and came up with probably a new and unusual idea. The last item I just wanted to mention is that in light of, much like what Sheriff Evan Noah said, in light of the activities within the region, within the locale of Reno, which is close to us, and within the state itself, regarding the protesting and the violence activity associated therewith, that we are monitoring very closely the statewide and the Northern Nevada intel, intelligence information that is coming in and out regarding those activities. Some of it quite detailed. We're looking at it, considering it, giving thought to various aspects of it, as to how these civil disturbances are occurring, why they're occurring. And so we're watching that stuff to see if we find any kind of information or any kind of inclination that might or could affect any portion of Story County. Our concern is around from one, the tourism-based aspects of Virginia City, as well as the industrial aspects of the industrial complex. There is concern, I have a concern for those areas, and we're watching that quite closely. We're in close contact with the state DEM for any intelligence information relating to that, as well as other resources that I have contacts with outside of the area. I think that's all I have to report this morning with you, unless there's any particular questions from any of the commissioners.
Great. No, thank you, Joe. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Joe this morning?
I do not, but we do appreciate the update, Joe. Thank you.
Great. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
No, sir. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks again, Joe. We'll move on over to the Planning Department. Kathy Canfield. I thought I saw her up on my board. Just remember to unmute your microphone, Kathy. Okay, we'll come back to you. We'll go over to the Comptroller's Office. Jennifer McCain.
Good morning. I don't really have much. I just want to let you know that our final budgets were turned into taxation, and we're waiting for approval on all of those. And we have moved into the augment process, where we're looking at line by line, each actual versus the budget for the current year. So next board meeting, we will have those in front of you for approval.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
Not today, thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
Well, thank you, Jennifer, very much.
All right. We'll move along to County Fire Chief Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. For the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a few items here. I'm very excited to announce that we've filled our vacant battalion chief position. Someone who comes to us with over 20 years of experience, fire, EMS, in the military. He is a veteran. Jim Morgan, who most recently worked for the Central Lyon Fire Protection District as a captain. He's jumped right in with both feet. And along with his normal duties, he'll be in charge of our fire and EMS training. So we're all looking forward to that and all very excited. Our next item, we've continued our fuel projects, both in the Highlands and the Virginia City area. And just yesterday, they finished up the fire break above town, above 7th Street in that area, weeding and cleaning up that area. So if we do have something from down below, it gives us a little bit better chance to have some defensible space in there. So, and then along with the projects in the Highlands as well, finishing those up. We are still looking for seasonal applications. We have one spot to fill, so if anybody knows of any hardworking men or women out there that are seeking careers in the fire service, that is open and you can apply through the website. And finally, as was mentioned earlier by Joe Curtis, graduations this week. It is that time of year, and it's a different time for all of us. The fire department has been asked to lead a couple of parades for the graduates through town. So So we are honored to do that. So the first one will be, I believe, tomorrow afternoon, and then on Saturday morning, late morning. So if you're starting to see lights and a bunch of cars, that's what it's for the graduation ceremonies. And that's all I have. If you have any questions.
Thanks, Chief. Commissioner Carmona, any questions for the Chief?
No questions, thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
Oh, thank you, Marty.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jeff. Move over to our Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to bring up today.
Thank you. County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. I just want to bring up two things. There is a webinar that's going to occur this Wednesday at, I believe, it's 6 o'clock. Let me look here real quickly. It's going to be this Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And the webinar is to meet in person with Nevada State Small Business Administration Director to talk about not just normal federal legislation of what's going on with SBA loans and grants for small business affected by COVID, but actually to have a conversation with this individual who is willing to actually spend his time talking with Virginia City and Story County merchants and businesses. This is kind of an exclusive meeting with this person just for us. So far, we have two RSVPs. I really would like to see this number up higher. Anybody can RSVP ahead of time just by emailing Congressman Porter at portergs.com. You can go to our county Facebook, and we will repost this, but we have posted it on there. They'll get you a password, and then you can enter the meeting. So I think this is a great opportunity. They're going to ask questions of people here in town of what kind of experiences they're having and what kind of frustration they're having, and go back right to the state office to try to make changes and help people up here. So this is more than just a standard webinar where everybody listens and hangs up the phone. We really hope to get the numbers up a little bit. And then the other one is there's some discussion down in Lockwood regarding an easement that was approved by the county quite some time ago in February or March regarding Perry Ranch Road. For anybody that is listening, we are in conversations with the Lockwood Community Corporation Board. I will be attending your next board meeting to explain what that easement is and to explain that that community is protected and that the county will enforce certain provisions of that easement to make sure that they are not having traffic going through their community, maintaining speed limits, and other certain things. So that will occur, and we'll be ready. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And I do want to relay from Senior Planner Kathy Kenfield. She's having some technical issues with the microphone, but she does not have anything for her staff report.
Okay, great. Thanks, Austin. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
No, at this time, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
No, sir.
All righty. We'll move on to their Story County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Good morning. Vanessa Stevens for the record. Just a quick update that early voting is still going on in the Slammer. We're accepting ballots between 8 to 6 and helping folks with same-day voter registration. So far, turnout's over 25%, so we're on track to beat the 2016 primary. Other than that, we still don't have an open date for the DMV. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact our office. Thank you.
All right. Is there any elected officials or staff members that I've overlooked on my reader board here? Okay. I guess not. So that'll conclude this item. We'll move on to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any comments today, sir?
I have nothing new today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Lance. Vice Chairman Carmona.
The only thing that I have to report today is I received news yesterday that a longtime Highlands resident, Marty Flatley, has passed away. Val, his wife, informed me, and I just wanted to share that with the audience. Anybody that knows Marty, he was a good man. The Highlands lost a good resident this week, and that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. I got just a couple of things here. First of all, I'd like to personally thank Joe Curtis and his staff, his team out over there with doing what they're doing for Story County and working with the Quad County Emergency Services there. Joe is instrumental in getting a report out to us on a daily basis on how Quad County numbers are panning out and keeping us updated on what's going on. In addition to that, the governor's office, Governor Sisolak, is sending out daily reports also. So Joe's sending out the one that gives us all the numbers for Quad County, for all four counties on where we're at with those that have been tested, those who are infected, those who have recovered, and those who have passed away. We're getting on a broader scale from the governor's office, an update on a daily basis, and it's great information. All dealing with COVID-19, which really interesting, if you go back to about April the 4th, if you look at the graph, Nevada's been on a flat line for almost two consecutive months now, so that's extremely good. The testing is going up. The governor wants to test 2% of the state's population on a monthly basis, which is approximately 60,000 tests a month, which would be good. The more tests you have, the more positives you're going to have, but you're also you're going to have more negatives also. So the numbers should look better as we go forward. Looking forward to phase three. Last Tuesday, I believe it was, the governor moved us into phase two, relaxing some of the restrictions that we all have to abide by. Once we move into phase three, we anticipate the restrictions to be lifted a little bit more. We don't know what's in phase three yet, because we don't think that phase three has been written yet. But, it's something that goes on a daily basis at the governor's office with his staff. So, we're starting to see a few more people, wander around. And, as the restrictions, become more relaxed, then we'll see more people. And then perhaps, Denny can pull off some 11th hour events before our tourism season is over with any luck at all. So anyway, everybody's doing a terrific job. At the county level, all of our residents are doing a really good job. I just think that the hand washing is the biggest deal. Everybody's washing their hands. It's going ahead and stifling the spread of cold and flu and the virus, because we're seeing very few people that have been ill over the last couple of months ever since this program has been started. So anyway, congratulations to all in Story County who are doing their share to keep everyone safe. And let's hope we can move on with this and get into better times. So thank you for that. We're going to move on now to item number 8. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible action to accept easement for a water line crossing the parcel of real property near the divide, bearing APN 001-041-10 from Hess Construction, in return for waiving the fees for a commercial water and sewer hookup for the property on which the easement will be granted. Mr. Loomis, are you going to take this?
Michael, are you going to handle this? You want me to?
I'm here, Keith. Either way, I can give you a little bit of history, and then, you can make the determination from my report here. Anyway, this water line is crucial water line. It supplies the communities of Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City, a line that comes from the tanks on the hillside. We call them hillside tanks. These tanks will be replaced. This water line needs to be replaced too. The water line many, many years ago was put in across then mining parcels up in the area of the divide. We had thought that there may have been an easement that was developed, but Marty Martinez's staff did extensive research clear back into the early 1950s. We find nothing. Of course, in today's world, when we're dealing with federal dollars and what are the requirements of the letter of conditions that was approved and signed by the commission was the fact that we have approved existing right-of-way for the project, and this was the last little piece that needed to happen, and we just thought it best that we finally get an easement, a perpetual easement for this portion of that line that crosses this private property up on the divide. The parcel, again, is owned by Hess Construction, and Bum has agreed to the easement with the stipulation that we provide commercial water and sewer hookup, and I think that's more than fair. First off, I don't know if we would have been able to relocate this portion of that line anywhere else up on the divide, short of building a bridge and raising it up in the air, and that would have been an impossibility. Secondly, the cost to re-engineer that section would have been extremely expensive. And thirdly, if there was some way that we could have moved that to a different location, the cost of construction would have been probably 10 times what the cost of the commercial water and sewer hookup is worth. We had some discussion on this with staff and decided this was the best route to proceed and get this cleaned up once and for all. Keith has prepared the documents that you have in front of you and has a little staff report there as well. Hopefully, you know, I've provided you enough information and you feel comfortable approving this easement. It's a 10-foot easement that runs, just short of, it's about 180 feet across that section of the Hess property. And you have the map and stuff in front of you as well. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
I do not.
Okay. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions?
No, Chairman.
Very good. At this time, we'll open up.
Amendment.
Pardon me?
There's an amendment to a map. I just want to make sure it's mentioned before votes. Thank you.
All righty. At this time, we'll open it up for public comment regarding this item.
Commissioner McBride, can you hear me? This is Sam Toll.
I can.
Sam Toll for the record from Gold Hill. Just curious, what's the value of the permanent commercial sewer water and sewer hookup?
That's a good question. Jason Wersbecki, are you still on the line here?
Yes, I am.
Could you answer Mr. Toll's question on what the value of a commercial water sewer hookup is currently?
It is $8,900, water and sewer.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. That's all.
All right. Very good. Any additional public comments? Yeah. Just to add on to what Mr. Nevin has said, that being around here for some time, that a lot of deals that were made in the old days were just verbal agreements. There was no contracts. There was nothing that was recorded at the recorder's office on things like this, because there wasn't as much concern about property rights in those days as there seems to be these days. So that's what it is. So with that said, Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve this, to accept this easement?
I, Gene Carmona, move to accept the easement for a water line crossing a parcel of real property bearing APN 001-041-10 from Hess Construction and waive the hookup fees for a commercial water and sewer hookup to that property and authorize the chairman to sign.
All right. Commissioner Gilman?
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Can I bring up the amendment?
Okay. Commissioner Carmona, would you like to go ahead and do you want to read the amendment first, Austin?
Mr. Chairman, it's an amendment to the map. I can show it here. It's very simple. There's an exhibit, and it says Howard Street abandoned, and then it says A Street abandoned. They are not abandoned. So the map was amended to look like this. You'll see under A, not abandoned. And you'll see section B, not abandoned. That is the only thing. With that amendment, the map is fine.
Okay. Thanks, Austin. If you get Commissioner Carmona to go ahead and revise your motion, please.
I, Jay Carmona, move to accept the easement for a water line crossing a parcel of real property bearing APN 001-041-10 from Hess Construction and waive the hookup fees for a commercial water and sewer hookup to that property and authorize the chairman to sign with the noted amendments to the map.
Okay. Does that work? That works. Good. Commissioner Gilman?
That's a second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along to item number 9. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve contract with Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Healthcare Financing and Policy, and with the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Welfare and Supportive Services, regarding the administration of services determining the eligibility of applicants and the eligibility of the medical services provided eligible applicants for Medicaid payments and addressing the county's portion for those payments. Mr. Loomis, are you going to take this one?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a contract that comes up about every 2 years and basically provides that the state will evaluate the eligibility of people applying for Medicaid benefits, and the that would be the Welfare Division. The Division of Healthcare Financing and Policy would then provide the payments to the people, to the providers that are giving treatment pursuant to Medicaid, and we are required, the county is required to come up with a partial match of the federal funds that are used to pay for that Medicaid. That's what this contract provides.
Yeah, so I've read all through it. So, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Keith regarding this?
No, no questions, Mark. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Carmona?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you, Chairman.
All right. At this time, why don't we go ahead and we'll open up for public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item? No public comment? Okay. Just for informational purposes, it's the amount of this is $42,622.61, and it's for 2 years. It's divided up not exactly equally, but it's pretty close. So, with that said, Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the contract with the Nevada Division of Health Care Financing and Policy, and with the Nevada Division of Welfare and Supportive Services to provide Medicaid match services and authorize the county manager to sign.
All right. Commissioner Gilman.
I'm second.
Can I get a second, Commissioner Gilman?
Yes, I did. You didn't hear it?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's a little bit slow going back and forth sometimes. I apologize. So.
Not a problem.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. All right. We're going to move on to item 11. This is discussion for possible action to move the general, move general public comment towards the beginning and the end of the agenda of the Board of Story County Commissioners until further notice. Now, this is an item that I've been talking over with the county manager now for a while. And what I want to do is I want to get a little bit of history on this, and then go ahead and get some feedback from my fellow commissioners on where we go forward on this. So in previous meetings, we used to be able to answer questions during public comment. Up till we had several members of the public who would meet outside and organize before the meeting to inundate the board with questions and criticism for either personal or political reasons, always looking for the gotcha moment and taking up an enormous amount of time. Now, this is when we have a lot of other government agencies here or people doing business that want to move on and get through the agenda, but we were always dealing with these issues. So I believe that with proper explanation on how public comment will be heard and asking that it not become argumentative or confrontational, we can once again allow public comment somewhere at the beginning of the meeting as well as at the end of the meeting as we currently do. The public comment portion of the meeting is for anyone to comment on anything they would like to talk about that is not currently on the day's agenda, as the board takes comments on every actionable item at the time it is being heard. We limit those comments to 3 minutes. If someone has a question about items on the agenda, they can contact whichever department is responsible prior to the meeting. County Clerk Stevens posts the meeting's agenda approximately 1 week before a regularly scheduled meeting and 3 days before a special meeting, giving ample time for the public to review the agenda. So with saying that, if we can keep everybody, you know, calm and not get back into this argumentative sect where we were before, I think we could go forward with this. The alternative is, well, there's two alternatives. Either we leave things the way they are, or we put the public comment back towards the beginning of the meeting. And if we start having outbursts like we had in the past, we simply eliminate it again. So with that said, I'd like to go to my fellow commissioners and see what your thoughts are on this. How about if I go to Commissioner Gilman first?
Mr. Chairman, I sat through the historical issues and times that were difficult times at the commission level. And I know that there are members of the public that have been asking for this opportunity, and to the extent that it can stay positive, to the extent that that it can be constructive criticism if such is necessary, I'm 100% for that. So, you know, based on the trial and program, I would support your motion and look forward to seeing how it may work.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Commissioner Carmona.
Chairman, thank you. I wholeheartedly support this. Since I was chairman for the HOA, we have done the same and moved public comments at the beginning of the meeting. I believe in the spirit of transparency, this is a necessity. Obviously, we all hope meetings go smoothly, but again, I wholeheartedly support this. And I believe that is an important move. So thank you for putting this on the agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Carmona. Okay. At this time, we'll go ahead and open up this item for public comment. And once again, I'll remind the audience who would like to speak to please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Who do we have first?
I'm gonna guess it comes as no surprise, Sam Toll, Golden Hill.
Okay.
I'm delighted that the commission has decided to take this step. As you know, I have expressed my desire for this to happen since I started attending commission meetings when I returned, you know, back to the Comstock in 2016. I think it sends the appropriate message that the community is welcome, their input is welcome, whether it's critical or complimentary, in order for open, transparent communication to flow freely. So I'm very grateful and very happy that this move is being made. I'm a little curious, and I just have a question. Why now?
Well, I guess I'm gonna have to bring this back to you. This isn't a time for question and answer, Sam. It's simply public comment.
Very good. Interestingly, I asked a question which was answered in the previous agenda item. So I figured that the free and transparent flow of information was still something you were looking for. Great move, fellas. Appreciate it, and I'm sure the community is well served by this finding. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Additional public comment.
Chairman McBride, Clay Mitchell here.
Hi, Clay.
Hi, Chairman. Thanks so much, Virginia City resident, for the record. I just want to speak in favor of this. I think it's the record. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Clay. Additional public comment? Okay. Without any additional public comment, I'm going to go to Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. This was my idea to bring this forward, so is it appropriate for me to make the motion or not?
You can make the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. I'm Marshall McBride. Motion to move general public comment toward the beginning of each agenda of the Board of Story County Commissioners to further notice. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second your motion, Marty.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval regarding resolution number 20-577, Story County Hazardous Mitigation Plan. Joe Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we have a little bit of history to begin with here is the Federal Emergency Management Agency requires that we produce a plan related to hazard mitigation. In other words, what do we do to minimize the potential for damage to our county causing significant loss of dollars, maybe residences, businesses, or what have you. And we started the first one that we put together was in 2009. That was accepted without any particular problems by FEMA. And we have a requirement that every 5 years thereafter, we have to review and update the plan in case things have changed. So we reviewed and updated the plan in 2015. That was the last occasion. From that point forward, then we started really beginning to develop, between actually 09 and 15, we really began to develop a number of areas within the county that were significantly growing, one being the Highlands area, and of course, secondarily, the industrial complex. So come 2020, when we were required to update this, we had to begin looking at that. Now, within this hazard mitigation plan, we basically look at about five or more different areas of concern to us in terms of what types of disaster, whether it be man-made or natural disaster, and what that those items could do in terms of affecting the county's capability to exist, I guess you could say. So, as we go through the plan, we provided y'all with the plan, which is a very extensive plan, and takes a great deal of time to put the whole thing together. And we do it generally with the assistance of contractors who do these things on a regular basis. One in particular that we work with is responsible for generating plans for the vast portion of the counties within Nevada. And in our particular case, we identified through having meetings with the public and with the various stakeholders that would be involved within county government and within the public that joins us, if you will, in living within the county. So in no particular order, the ones that we have to look at is one, drought. We look at earthquake. We look at epidemics, which was fortuitous, I guess. We look at flooding. And when we look at flooding, we look at both riverine flooding and we look at flash flooding. We get like from thunderstorms, which is pretty common. Then we look at hazardous materials events, which develop because of the greater involvement with the industrial complex. From there, we look at severe weather, which would encompass hail, rain, snow, wind, that sort of thing. And then, of course, we are required to look at the terrorism factor. And the terrorism factor relates to a number of things that could potentially affect Story County, more so from a Virginia City business standpoint and from an industrial complex area. And then, of course, the big one that we deal with a lot is wildland fire. And also included within that, we look at catastrophic fires. Catastrophic being, historically speaking, you've got the biggest one probably about 1875, which destroyed about 75% of the community. And then in 1942, fire that destroyed the vast majority of the dividing area of Virginia City. So wildland and catastrophic fires is a big factor to us. So as we go through these things, I'm not going to belabor going all through, but I just want to give you kind of a brief overview. So then from there we go, okay, these things could happen. What do we do to mitigate those potential disaster situations? So we have to set up things like goals and objectives, mitigation actions. For example, with the flooding, what do we do in consideration for the culverts in Six Mile Canyon? Because that's always a problem for us with them getting washed out and significant flash flooding, particularly. And then we evaluate and prioritize these mitigation actions, and then we have to implement these mitigation actions. So when we put this whole plan together, these are some of the areas of primary areas that we look at and deal with. Well, the plan has been completed now for 2020. It's been submitted to FEMA for final approval. We've had a couple of go-aheads and comebacks and so forth that say, you know, can you fix this? Can you add this? Can you do that? And one of the things was they wanted more interaction with the Carson River Water Subconservancy District, which we looked at. And we invited them to all of our public meetings in discussing and putting this plan together, as well as the Truckee River Water Subconservancy Group that deals with the Truckee River. So they had been pulled into the 2020 plan. So that's just a quick and dirty rough overview of what this plan consists of and why we have it in place. So with that thought in mind, it's submitted to you for the acceptance by the commissioners, and then we will obtain a approval from FEMA that we've accepted it. And sometimes there's little comebacks and they'll say, well, can you add this and that? And they're very minor things in the rule. So at this point, I would turn that plan to you for consideration of acceptance.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe regarding this?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Good. Mr. Carmona?
I don't have any questions, Chairman.
Very good. It's an immense amount of work that's gone into this. Looking like it's about 100 or 110 pages that you're sitting in front of me.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, no kidding. How about if we open up for public comment? Is there public comment regarding this resolution? So, Mr. Loomis, since this is an amendment to the resolution, does the title need to be read in?
It does not need to be read in, no.
All right, thank you. With that said, Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, G. Carmona, move to approve resolution number 20-577 for the Story County Hazard Mitigation Plan update.
And I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second, Mr. Chairman.
All right, it's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval regarding amended resolution number 20-573, granting the Story County Senior Center the sum of $377,716 for the purpose of to maintain the Story County Senior Center and providing programs and services to seniors to promote independent and healthy lifestyles. Mr. Loomis?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an amended resolution. We did approve a resolution sending funds to the Senior Center at the last meeting. Apparently there was an error in the amount. And I'm not sure what the amount of the error was, and perhaps Ms. York can fill that before I can, but this is simply to provide for the grant to the nonprofit entity.
Right, it looks like it looks like it's a reduction of about $9,500. So.
Chairman, if I may?
Go right ahead.
Jennifer McCain. Laura had to be on another call for emergency mitigation. She asked me to make a few comments on this.
Wait a minute.
The amended resolution is due to a few additions that were requested for the senior centers from Commissioner Gilman, as well as some confusion that she had when she created the original resolution regarding the entire budget and the actual amount requested. So this new resolution reflects the actual amount requested by the Senior Center.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. So, Commissioner Carmona, did you have any questions regarding this?
No, Chairman.
Commissioner Gilman?
I have no questions, but shout out to Stacy and Beth, and what a wonderful job they're doing with our senior programs and their outreach, and we're expanding based upon the county's ability to do so. It's been a work in progress for a number of years, and we're bringing this together with some great leadership. I thank them very much for where they're going for our seniors.
Exactly right. I agree 100% with you. All right, we'll open it up. Is there any public comment regarding this amended resolution?
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. I'd like to echo the statements that you just made, Commissioner Gilman just made, regarding Ms. York and the Senior Center. Society reflected on how they take care of the most vulnerable within their group, and it's very encouraging to see what we're doing here in Story County. I know the questions aren't allowed, but I'm going to ask one anyway. Is any money that's in this amount going towards capital improvements, or is this directly for services?
This is their budget, and this was in the budget that was submitted 2 weeks ago. So you have those documents, Sam.
Thanks. I guess.
All right. Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, G. Carmona, move to approve amended resolution number 20-573, granting the Story County Senior Center the sum of $377,716 for the purpose of maintaining the Story County Senior Center and for providing programs and services to seniors to promote independent and healthy lifestyles.
Thank you. A motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of termination of easement providing for termination of the non-exclusive easement provided by the Nevada State of Nevada lands to Story County for maintenance of the bridge where the USA Parkway crossed the Truckee River and conveying the easement back to state lands. Long-term maintenance of the bridge will be completed by NDOT. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was actually begun back in February when we passed a resolution to notify state lands that we are going to terminate our interest in maintaining that bridge. It's been proposed that NDOT take over the maintenance of that bridge, and that was the purpose of the resolution. This is the actual notice to state lands that we have terminated it. There is still an outstanding issue regarding the NDOT maintenance. We did send a proposed agreement to NDOT for them to take over the maintenance of that bridge. Initially, they said they couldn't do it, but they changed their mind later and said, yes, we can do the amendment. But that has not come back from NDOT yet. And so that is, there's still one little piece of documentation that's going to have to be accomplished for NDOT to take over that maintenance. But I did see in a letter from State Lands that they have been in discussions with NDOT and prepared to grant NDOT that easement to maintain the bridge.
Well, we'll probably get it back sometime in the future. I know a lot of these people are working from home. They're not even working in their office. So, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Keith?
I don't have any questions, just an assurance that if we pass this resolution that we are going to get the long-term maintenance of the bridge by end up, that's a very important element in our county. So how would that stand, Keith, is the assurance that that's going to happen? And if it doesn't happen, where does the liability fall?
Well, the state land is going to accept the termination of the easement. So it's going to be their property again. They've indicated that the NDOT, that they're going to grant the easement to NDOT, and that NDOT has told us that they will provide the amended agreement whereby they will take over the maintenance, but we don't have that yet.
So really the challenge will be for state lands, not Story County, to finalize this agreement.
I would say that's true. We do want to get the amended agreement back from NDOT for our purposes.
So you're comfortable with this going forward with this consideration and approval?
I am.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Keith?
I do not at this time. Thank you.
Very good. And I don't either. So we'll open it up. Is there public comment regarding this item? All right. Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, if we get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve termination of the easement and authorize the chairman to sign the termination of easement, convey the bridge maintenance easement back to state lands.
A motion. Commissioner Gilman?
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 16, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of second reading of bill number 120, ordinance 20-309, providing for whistleblower protections as required by AB 274 of the 2019 legislative session. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the second reading of the ordinance 20-309. In the 2019 legislative session, the legislature passed AB 274, which requires that all counties adopt an ordinance providing protections to whistleblowers, at least as extensive as those provided to state whistleblowers.
And that is what this ordinance is intended to accomplish.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Keith?
No questions. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Keith?
No questions, Chairman.
Very good. We'll open it up for public comment. Is there any public comment?
Chairman McBride, for the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. I'm encouraged that the board is planning on adopting this measure. I continue to be contacted by folks who are blowing the whistle on different things. A county employee last year submitted a whistleblower complaint to the AG, District Attorney Langer and myself, and sadly had to find a job outside the county after she blew the whistle on Gary Haynes. It's disappointing that she felt the need to move and to uproot her family, but this type of protection is appropriate and could have prevented her from leaving our community because she's an asset here. So I'm looking forward to this being approved and that folks can step forward without fear of retribution. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment. Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, J. Carmona, move to approve second reading of Bill Number 120, Ordinance 20-309, establishing greater whistleblower protections.
Second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 17, discussion for possible action. It's consideration of possible approval of revised settlement agreement between International Investments and the Perry Trust and Vanessa Stevens as the Story County Treasurer and Tax Receiver in case number 1HRP000021E filed in the First Judicial District Court. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have actually approved the settlement agreement back in last August, but in the interim, the Perry Trust and International Investments have changed the terms of the settlement agreement as between themselves. It has no impact on the county, but it does. There was some changes in the agreement, and so in excess of caution, I thought it best to have the settlement agreement reapproved by the board because of the language changes. But I want to reiterate that the changes don't affect the county. It's solely between Perry Trust and the international investment.
Very good. Thank you, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mr. Loomis?
No questions, Mark.
Thank you. Commissioner Carmona?
No questions, Chairman.
Very good. We'll open up for public comment. Hearing no public comment, I'll go to Commissioner Carmona, if you'll motion to approve.
I, J. Carmona, move to approve the terms of the revised settlement agreement reached between International Investments, LLC, the Perry Trust, and Vanessa Stevens in her role as Story County Treasurer and Tax Receiver, and ratify the Chairman's signature to the agreement.
Thank you, Jay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 18, discussion for possible action. This comes out of community development. This is approval of business license second readings. We only have one on here, so this is Berger Electric Hilux out of Carlsbad, California. Is there any public comment regarding this business license second reading?
No
Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the second reading of Business License A.
I'll second your motion.
Been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 19. And there we are, public comment. We have public comment.
Once again, for the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. Delighted to say that I won't be asking for you guys to be moving the public comment back to the front. Super stoked about that, as I'm sure you are as well. Just a quick point. The Ferrari Hill Climb is still on for September. We've been granted a temporary license from Denny Dodson at the Tourism Commission. And we were thinking about scrapping the car show because it was something that might attract too many people. But we're reevaluating that decision based upon the fact we've had so many cancellations of other car shows. So I'm looking forward to bringing that event back up on the hill with Denny's permission, and hopefully we'll have some really nice cars zipping through town and a very successful car show in the center of town. So other than that, appreciate you guys moving the comment back at the beginning of the meeting, and look forward to making some comments at the beginning of the next meeting.
Thank you. Additional public comment. So we look forward to hearing from the governor's next press conference. It's unscheduled, but hoping that he will relax his directives and move us into phase three, where perhaps we'll all be able to meet back in the courthouse again. It'd be nice to see everybody here in this room again. So with that said, and no further public comment, we're going to adjourn.